Why do people go missing in national forests? What mysteries are lurking in the foliage? Are there beasts stalking us while we hike? Or are there predators closer to home? Today we test the believability of the missing 411 and the disappearances in the national forest.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right. Thank you for joining us on another Tuesday.
Listen, this is going to be a long title on that graphic.
Yeah.
You said it.
I was thinking that. When
you said it, you had that up, like, tone, like, missing 411. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting intonation to stop on. And then you continued, and all I could think about is the graphic. I'm like, all right. I'm going to have to lower that font a little bit.
It reminds me of the Roanoke thing, too.
See, what I like about that, though, is the fact that I'd rather have the... Is it tone that I'm talking about? Or inflection.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you continued with that inflection, more so than I'm upset that I'm going to have to make a lot of words on that graphic.
Yeah.
So I'm happier than I'm sad, but I'm still like one tier.
You'll be fine. So, really quick, today, I was driving... I didn't go to McDonald's today. I got Starbucks.
Did you pay it forward?
No, I didn't pay it forward.
Did you pay it backward?
Absolutely not. Not today. Sometimes I do, though. But the cashier, I did notice this guy, he was kind of absurdly handsome, and I did accidentally flirt with him a little bit.
You know your wife listens to this podcast.
I told her this first.
Oh, so she knows.
Yeah.
Did you get a free drink out of it?
I didn't, no. I'm not handsome enough to get a free drink out of it.
Just a phone number, just some digits.
Like, I was like, I love your tattoos. And then I fixed my hair. I was like,
oh man.
I was like, oh man, am I flirting?
What drink did you get?
I get an iced coffee. That's my little story. I just want to tell you that.
So is that, you had plans after this recording? You got to be somewhere?
I wish. He had a faceless tattoo from Spirited Away and also like a rainbow heart. It was very nice. Nice combos.
So missing people.
Missing people. Have you ever heard of the National Forest disappearances?
Yes, I have.
It's a phenomenon.
I know very specifically about Mount Shasta because I've covered that in A Different World. But I know this spans more than that. So I'm excited to get into that because it's very interesting and also very terrifying.
Yes, it's very, especially for you because you're kind of nature-y.
It's really weird. A lot of people that grew up with me, like in high school, I guess what I mean is high school, they're like, probably surprised to hear that I'm into like the stars and hiking and kayaking. That wasn't like that. I was very much indoors video games. But I would say the last like 7 years, I've really kind of gotten a fascination. Can I potentially ruin everything with my one criticism or skepticism about the whole thing?
You can give it a shot.
Because I think I touched on this when we were talking about the mysterious staircases. I just think you're more susceptible to having people go missing in national forests because it's not regulated camping. The fact that anybody can go anywhere and camp at any place, people get lost. You know what I mean? It's not like there's a campsite. You go to the campsite. People keep missing from this one campsite because then that campsite gets sued or shut down. But when you can just go into a forest. So missing people.
No. It's okay. There's more to this than just that because if it was all camping cases that ended like that, I'd say 100%. It's done.
Yes. There's just this one cliff that nobody knows about.
It's called Dead Man's Cliff.
Yeah.
It's called Swan Dive Cliff.
It's Dead Man. He didn't get to finish it because he died.
So this episode is based off the Missing 411, which is a series written by David Pallades.
So this is a book series?
It's a book series that turned into a movie thing.
And the book's always better.
Well, I suppose. But I watched the movie for this because we got recommended to do that. They said, have you heard of Missing 411? Have you heard of it? And I hadn't really, so I looked it up.
But you knew it was like missing people at like the very base, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
So is this like a journalist or like an investigator?
He was a journalist that turned into a novelist.
Gotcha.
I thought, like I said, the bear maze, I knew people were missing.
Right.
I thought it explored the more supernatural elements of it. It doesn't. It's more true crime than anything else.
Like people getting murdered and their bodies not getting found or they are getting found.
They don't ever explicitly say they were murdered.
Okay. They're leaving a little room for it being aliens.
There's a little wiggle. Yeah.
Like and they got stabbed 42 times. Was it Bigfoot? Hey, we don't know.
They do actually say, like, this is weird. We don't know how it's happening.
Yeah.
But there are lots of cases, which we're going to talk about, especially from the movie, where it just makes sense that's people. Spoilers. We'll talk about when it happens. But also, I, being me, I dove into the other reasons, what might be happening.
Like aliens.
Aliens, be picking a couple people other up. Things too. This also kind of dovetails with the stairs.
Maybe national forests are just like giant eagle to aliens. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's where you go. Like the Southwest, Southwest is like Aldi's. And maybe national forests are like giant eagle.
California, they have Ralph's. I love Ralph's.
Maybe the aliens go to the Ojai ice cream.
Maybe.
They have Ralph's?
Is that Ralph's.
Like Aldi's? Are there no Aldi's there? Do they have Mark's there? Like, we have Mark's and they have Ralph's.
I don't think they do have a Mark's.
What's another grocery store?
Whole Foods. They have that.
Earth Fair?
I have no
aliens can't afford that. Economy be tough in space. They can't be going to Earth Fair. They go to, like, Mars Fair or Venus Fair.
All right, so that being said, let's move on to the missing 401 cases. So it's interesting to know about a lot of these cases that take place in the national forests. The bodies are found, if they're found, in places that are very far from where they should be, from where they initially disappeared. This first case of Dior Kunz, it's a kid's name, he went missing on July 10th, 2015.
Dior.
Kurtz, yeah.
Kurtz, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, recent.
Yeah, he was young. He was only two.
Dang.
Everyone on this trip was a person of interest. The mom, the dad, and the grandpa, and the grandpa's friend, who came last minute. No clothes or prints or anything was found of Dior.
Do you mean person of interest as in they were all potentially guilty?
Yeah, the cops looked at all of them.
Okay.
Still looking.
With a magnifying glass, just looking at them.
Yeah. So the mom and the dad and this friend, Isaac, they go up to this stream because Isaac said him and the grandpa were up there fishing. And like, oh, yeah, I see this fishing spot.
If this was like CSI or Law and Order, Isaac did it. I'm just saying.
So Dior, kind of, he starts to, like, follow along.
Yeah.
And then he's a kid. He's fickle. He's like, I don't want to come. So he starts to head back toward where Grandpa was by the fire. They lose eyes. They lose the eyes on him. About 20 minutes later, they realize the Grandpa, he's not with the Grandpa. He's not with the parents. No one sees him. He's gone. 30 minutes later, they're calling the police. And the reason they waited so long is because they were out of service. Because they're way in the heart of the natural forest. They had hardly any signal. And the cops come. They call in dogs. They call in helicopters with infrared. And lots of people searching the area. They search the creek by hand for miles.
Dang.
They search animal beds, like animal dens.
The dogs are going door to door to the bear's house. Have you seen this
kid? Have you seen this little blonde boy?
And bear's like, I don't speak dog, bro.
Oh, man. But yeah, they don't see anything. Within 3 days, they go to the news station. They have an interview. And the kid's just gone. They never find anything of this kid. Do you want to point out about Isaac? He was a convicted sex criminal. And he was invited last minute. And he's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, he would be like the guest star, like when you're watching one of those TV shows, the only person that you recognize from like another show or another movie. You know what I'm talking about? When they have a guest star on one of those shows and you recognize them, they're the killer.
But the thing about it is, he was with the parents when the kid went missing. So that's like, what the fuck?
Well, so all this happened in 20 minutes. Like, I know the search went on 3 days, but they lost track of him for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was so fast. It was just gone.
Yeah, it was Isaac.
So that is the case of Dior.
So nobody found him. Like, that's,
nobody ever found him.
Okay.
Just vanished. Gone. No one's in jail.
I don't think, if they can't find the body, I don't know how they could.
No body, no crime. Is that what you're saying?
Taylor Swift song just came out.
Oh.
It didn't just come out. It's been out, but it's newer.
So that's the tale of Dior. So we're going to move on to another case. This is in the Rocky Mountains.
The 401 case. This has been out for a while. Like, recent. This is new. Right? Because if this case is from 2015 and this is in print, that means...
Yeah, exactly.
It had to come out in the last probably 4 or 5 years.
This came out in like 2017.
Okay.
This next case is old. This is a very old case. 58.
Dang.
This is Bobby Bizup. And he disappeared in the Rocky Mountains National Forest.
Love to go there, by the way. That would be a ton of fun, I think.
So this says a little bit of preamble. Three people, including a priest, were camping in this mountain area, and they set up a chapel on the rock when they saw a shooting star, and it encouraged them to set up a summer camp there.
And one shooting star, and they're like, summer camp.
Well, I mean, they're religious. They're like, God sent a message. So, yeah.
But you know you can see shooting stars a lot of places. But I think you could also say, if you believe it, that God is in many places, so...
St. Malo, it's this place that's right next to the Rocky Mountain Forest. It's like just butting up against it.
Okay. I'm just saying, if this is a TV show and the priest is played by like Steve Buscemi, he did it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you got a bunch of people you don't know being extras and you got like Steve Buscemi, he did it.
Well,
yeah, he did it. As a priest.
This priest, this was in the 30s when they went camping. This takes place about 30 years later. It's also important to note that this camper, Bobby Bishop, he is partially deaf.
More susceptible to...
Yeah, this actually plays into... Because a lot of these people that go missing in the woods, a lot of them have some kind of disability or a little bit different somehow. But the thing about the Bobby Bishop thing is he was just off this trail that is ridiculously easy to follow. It's just like this dirt path that leads to the camp.
I feel like you're kind of shaming him right now. Well, like, you'd have to be an idiot to get lost here.
That's not the thing. I don't think he got lost. It's strange what happens. So this is what actually happens. He was fishing.
Did you say how old he was?
He was 10.
Okay, so he's 10.
Yeah, he's a 10-year-old. He was fishing off this trail, and he was approached by a camp counselor. And he was told that it was dinner time. So the camp counselor walks the trail and turns around to see if Bobby's following him. He's not. He's gone. Sees him, says dinner's ready. They start walking a little bit, turns around, Bobby's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Dior, the path is clear. Like, there's no reason he should have vanished. He's just gone.
So the camp counselor, played by Alec Baldwin, is the last one to see him before he disappeared. So yeah. Pretty much it all comes down to that camp counselor's word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. They searched for 9 days. The next year, these three camp counselors... The three of them that initially looked for Bobby to begin with, they found some scraps of clothes and a hearing aid.
Like a cochlear implant type thing, I wonder? Like, well, I guess, I don't know if they had that.
They did. Yeah, that's what they found.
Oh, okay.
And then a little bit after that, they found his body. He was in a ravine that was almost impossible for him to get up. And that's the case of Bobby Bishop.
So what if the camp counselor accidentally hurt him?
Mm-hmm.
Accidentally, we'll say, you know, like he's like, no, I'm fishing. And he's like, well, we're going to go eat fish at the camp. And Bobby's like, no. And he's like, come on. And then he goes to grab his arm and he pulls him and he trips and he hits his head. And then the camp counselor is like, oh, I'm going to go put him somewhere nobody would ever expect. In exactly 1 year after my shooting star comes, I'll find him and I'll look less suspicious. But it was an accident.
Let's get through all the stories.
Okay.
Before we... Cast dispersions.
They're the freshest in my head, as you say them. So
for sure.
That's just... I'm not saying it was that. I'm just saying, one, we don't really have a time frame, and two, it was only one person. Maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he didn't do it at all. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was a mistake.
For sure.
But who knows?
Yeah, we'll go through them, then we'll talk about them all.
Quick question. Yeah. So the person writing it, Paul Ides?
Yeah.
Did he come to conclusions, or is he just... Is he a bystander just reporting the facts, or does he at the end or during give his ideas or positions on what could have happened?
He does not give his ideas.
So he just reports the facts.
He just reports on what happens. Very journalistic.
Yeah.
Very much from his origins.
Probably very short sentences.
Jared Attadetto, missing from Comanche Park, October 2nd, 1999.
Do you know where that is?
I have no clue.
Where was the last one, did it say?
Rocky Mountain National Park.
Okay.
There were so many parks, I was like, I'm not going to look up all these parks. Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to go through all these and look all these up. There's so many.
Comanche National Grassland, maybe?
Yeah.
Looks like Colorado.
That sounds right. Yeah, it's Colorado.
Hanging out with our boy, Fort Collins, maybe. No idea how close those are. A lot of listeners in Colorado, actually. Shout out.
Yeah, I love Colorado.
Shout out Colorado.
Love to go there, actually.
Hopefully we
do. Red Rocks.
Dude, yes.
One day. So this story actually starts like my classic, this is what happens.
It was a dark and stormy night.
In 2003, two hikers found the first piece of evidence of a missing child. It was an extremely clean shoe found in a 2,000-foot cliff high up.
A cliff what?
It was a high up cliff.
So they found a clean shoe at the top of a cliff.
Not just clean, pristine.
What, did they lick it? Like,
no, I mean, like, there was
it
no
dirt. It still
has
the tag on it.
There was no dirt on the shoe at
they
all.
They overpaid for this. Must have bought it at Journeys.
So let's jump back to 1999 when Jared went missing.
So this is 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Jared was hiking with this on this like really precarious trail that was taking them to a fish farm with a church group.
And he's I see this big group. There's a through line with fish, I feel like.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, actually, there is. I didn't do that on purpose. But he's surrounded by this group of people. He kind of, he's not being watched by his dad. His dad's not there.
How old is he?
Three. He's with Seth's girlfriend at the time. She loses sight of him, right? And within that 10 minutes, she realizes he's gone. He's never found again. Does that make sense?
I feel like it should be like 411 colon bad parenting.
Oh, man. Oof.
Well, how not to parent?
Yeah, but he's with this whole group of church people, and he vanishes.
This is a church people one, too?
Yeah, they were out on a church group.
So it wasn't just his dad's girlfriend and him. It was a whole group of people.
It was a whole group of people, yeah.
With pristine shoes.
Well, when he went out there, they were pristine. And when it was found, it was also pristine. Like, no amount of dirt had ever hit them.
Do you know how hard it is to walk on a trail and do that? Because sometimes I'll have new shoes that are really comfortable, that are meant to be kind of like walking shoes. And I'll be like, oh, I'll wear them here. It won't be muddy. It hasn't rained. It's just like dusty. And then I get home and I'm like, what the f***?
Covered in dirt.
Yeah. I'm like, did I even walk, or was I just rolling around in the dirt? So,
yeah. It's actually part of the case too, because this shoe is super clean. It wasn't dragged is the point of that. Because a lot of people's arguments is that this kid was dragged away by a mountain lion.
Oh.
So that's not really the case.
And mountain his clothes lion, mountain lion saw those British. Shoes.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Those Jordans?
Shit.
His clothes were actually intact almost completely too.
So they found his body.
No.
Oh.
They didn't. Sorry.
They found a lion wearing his clothes.
No, they found his clothes. Next to that was a log. And on that log was a skull cap. So the top of your skull and one singular tooth.
I thought you meant like a beanie.
No.
Like he got scalped.
Yeah.
Well, it's scalping, I think, is more of a forehead, but.
Well, that's your whole. That's when they take off your hair with your blood. But they took off, like, it's the top of his head.
Oh my God. This sounds like the terrifying beginning of like a Tooth Fairy movie.
It does. Oh my gosh. It absolutely does.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. Listen, I'm here now. Like, I'm present. Like, I was here with you the entire episode so far.
Yeah.
But now, okay. So, kid disappears.
Yes.
Was it the same people that found his shoe that found the body? By body, I mean the clothes.
Yes.
So, kid disappears in 99. And then 4 years later, on a cliff, these people find one very clean shoe, a scalp, and a tooth on a log.
Yes.
And clothes? Was there clothes you said?
Yeah, the clothes. Pants and a jacket. This was 550 feet up from where the trail was, right? So they're already on this high trail. This is up even higher, up steep terrain. There's no way this kid could get out of there. Some people, like some cops, think this must be a mountain lion. Does not match what a mountain lion would do.
A mountain lion that worked at Old Navy and probably folded the clothes. And was...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A mountain lion would have tore these clothes apart. This kid's clothes were fine.
Listen, you know what this sounds like? This sounds like somebody who had the body for 4 years and then planted it 4 years later. Here's another thing. Not just the fact, like, okay, so let's say he got dragged by mountain lions. Even if you say that's not true and you just assume that the shoe has been out there for 4 years, it's going to rain, it's going to do other forms of precipitation that Colorado has. I don't know Colorado. But you know what I'm saying? It's like even just the natural environment for 4 years. Also, am I expected to believe that for 4 years, not a single hiker or camper was on that cliff? It seems like
it was planted. I know exactly what you mean. At this point in the movie, I'm screaming to Stephanie, right? I'm like, I know exactly what happened to this kid. He was snatched.
So this was in the movie?
Yeah.
So is this a documentary?
Yeah.
It's not. You said movie. But I'm sorry.
Yeah,
this is a documentary.
Yeah, sorry.
Got you. So, yeah, no, somebody brought it there 4 years later, in my opinion.
We'll continue the speculation because there's a couple more cases from the movie I want to talk about. And then there's three other cases.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right, so let's keep going. That was Jared. This next one's fast. This is a really fast one. So Samuel Bulk, missing at Crater Lake, October 6, 2006. He's 8 years old.
Oh, this is Oregon.
This place is beautiful.
Have you been?
No. I've never been to Oregon.
Are we going?
I'd love to.
I think it's Oregon.
I think it's Oregon. Like the Oregons.
Listen, this is going to be a poll on our Instagram.
Do we have any listeners in the Northeast? Northwest?
I thought I was bad at geography. Yeah, we're gonna put out there. Is it Oregon, like G-U-N, or Oregon, G-O-N-E, and y'all let us know. You're team Oregon.
Oregon.
And I'm gonna team Oregon.
Yeah.
I think I could be wrong.
I don't know. I have no idea.
So anyway, Crater Lake.
Yes, this kid, Sam, was visiting with his dad. Samuel had some developmental issues that they actually made a point of making in the movie.
Documentary?
Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it.
The motion picture.
Thank you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned it.
Did they say what kind?
Okay. They said maybe autism. They weren't sure.
Somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I got you.
Which doesn't make anything that happened his fault. It just it might be part of what happened. So he kind of breaks away from his dad, right? He's throwing rocks at this biker. And the biker stops. And he's like, hey, stop that. Stop that. His dad runs out. And he says, Sam, you got to come back with me.
I'm assuming it's a bicycler. I'm imagining they're on a trail. It's like somebody on a motorcycle.
No, it's revving.
Hey, kid.
Yeah, it's definitely got short shorts and a helmet.
You got a good arm, kid, but knock it off.
But this kid freaking out, he decides the best action is to run off into the forest. And it's October 6th. It's cold. They're up high, lots of elevation. They're looking for him that same night, but they can't find him. And into the next day, snow starts falling.
So wait, his name is Sam?
Yeah.
Fun fact, really quick. When I was in Chicago at my friend's wedding, his name was Sam. He's from Oregon. He was born on Halloween in Salem.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's not the Salem, but he was born in Salem, Oregon.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, about the kid.
Yeah. So anyway, Samuel, they had 174 search and rescue personnel looking for him that evening. Like I said, the park was covered in snow. They had dogs. They had helicopters. They never found him.
Man, we need to get some new dogs. Dogs are striking out right now.
Yeah. I think they find more than they don't find, but
could you imagine our dogs trying to find someone?
Oh, Lord.
No. Hopefully they're either by the food or like my backyard. Otherwise,
my dogs are stupid. They can't find anything.
Well, you have a new puppy. It's not their fault.
He's trying his best.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's keep going. This is the last
case. So that's it. He's just gone.
He's just gone. Just gone. Gone. Into the wilderness.
Sometimes the world seems incredibly small and it makes it seem like you can't hide. You know what I mean? Like people mm-hmm. worry about like, you know, the COVID vaccine has put a microchip in me. You can't hide. Like there's moments where you're like, wow, this is a small world. But sometimes I feel like when you actually venture off into the world, like you put your phone behind you, you're just alone. Like it's the 90s. Crazy. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I can see how people get lost. It's sometimes the world feels really big.
I know what you mean. Especially in those forests, though. There's no reception.
Yeah. Do you think you could hide?
Me?
Yeah. If you ran away, do you think you could do it in a way where you would not get found?
Let me put it this way. I could do it in a way where I wouldn't be found, but I wouldn't survive very long.
But then would they find your body?
No.
See?
I don't think so. I didn't want to be found, I think I could.
Yeah, I'm not saying that these, like, two-year-olds are like, if I climb up there, let me put some mud on my face so I can go full snake eater. And, you know, I think it's just unfortunate events.
So this is Keith Parkins. Ritter, Oregon, another Oregon.
Ooh.
Disappeared April 10th, 1952. Age 2.
Was he fishing?
He was not.
Was he going to buy fish?
No.
Filet a fish?
No, nothing with fish. Cows, actually.
Oh. Those are known as the fish of farms.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
What our little picture over here says.
I see. So Keith's grandparents were ranchers, and they lived in Ritter. So this is right up against another national forest. So Keith and his older brothers had gone to the barn because they had just had a calf born, so they went to go see the baby. And when they were called back home for dinner, only the two brothers came back. Keith did not come back.
Does it say what they're having for dinner?
No, it does not.
I have a guess.
Cow?
Fish.
Oh.
Probably fish.
So the thing is, he left. The brother said that he went around the side of the barn and he was gone. They searched all night for him, and they found him 8 miles away through rough terrain. There was no way he could have traveled this distance. But here's the special part. He was alive. They found this kid alive the next day, 24 hours later.
Did they ask him
what happened?
Yeah.
He had no idea.
What?
He had no idea how he got there. His clothes were torn up from the barbed wire, probably, but he didn't know how he got there. He still has the clothes. He was showing it in the documentary, like, the clothes that he had when he went missing.
Does he have a guess?
No. He doesn't know.
He's just cool with it. He's like, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I don't think he's cool with it, but...
He's like, yeah. I don't like fish anyway. Yeah. They're having tilapia. Listen, this one, I don't know why. Farms, aliens. Like, there's just something about farms that make me think of aliens. Maybe it's like a connection that aliens farm
that's
us.
That's signs.
I don't... I guess. Yeah, maybe. But like this one seems the most alien-like to me so far.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, some of them definitely have the true crime feel like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But this one...
This one's the weirdest.
Yeah, I think it's because it has finality in its ending. It's one, they found him. Two, he was alive. Three...
Doesn't know how he got there.
Doesn't know how he got there. Like, so the time lapse, the distance, mm-hmm. the quickness of the distance.
It was also snowing, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's a blizzard.
So, I wonder... Well, it depends how quickly the snow was covering the ground. But I wonder why they couldn't maybe see his steps. Yeah. I think maybe when you're in a pain... Like, if you don't think somebody's missing and you just go outside, you're not going to be paying attention to those details. You're just going to be like, where are they?
It was also late, too.
Yeah. Like, if you're an investigator or a police person, you're probably going to be in the mindset of, let's look for tracks. But if you're just like... If you think I'm behind the barn, you're not going to be like, let's follow his... Mm-hmm. You're just going to be like, hey, Tyler, where are you at? I'll be like, aliens, bro.
That was the end of the 411 stories.
Gotcha.
So this is from another article by Becky Stripe.
Becky?
Two stories. One about Douglas Legg and then David Gonzalez. So let's talk about Douglas Legg first. Douglas and some of his family were heading out for a hike in Erdonk Forest when his uncle spotted poison ivy and told Douglas to go put on long pants to protect himself. The family's cabin was a short, straight shot from where they were. Douglas never came back. Unlike a lot of kids who have gone missing in national parks, Douglas was very familiar with these woods. His family owned a cabin where they'd been staying, and they described Douglas as a mini woodsman.
Probably a good fisherman.
Probably. Because they all hike together so often, Douglas's disappearance sparked one of the southern Erdonk's largest search, with more than 600 people searching the woods. But Douglas was never... He left no trail.
Wow. Could you imagine 600 people looking for you? Like, that's kind of like a flex.
I know.
Almost.
Rescuers used dogs in their search.
Oh, and the dogs didn't find him, nope. Huh?
Some accounts describe dogs following Douglas's scent for over 30 miles or 48 kilometers through difficult terrain. How could a young child have traveled alone for such a distance? Some searchers report seeing a bear-like track near the site. Now, while black bears do drag their prey, over 30 miles is ridiculous. And the family became desperate and began to suspect each other, and even their friends and family, of abducting the child. But the police were certain that Douglas had simply gotten lost. He was never found.
And that's an unquote.
Yeah, unquote.
Do dogs ever find anyone?
Yes, they do.
Jeez, how much do they make?
But man, isn't that crazy? That's a crazy story.
30 miles, so yeah.
That's where they tracked him, 30 miles. What happened? What?
Now, I don't think being familiar with it matters, because I think once you get so familiar, your brain goes on autopilot, and mm-hmm. I think you're more actually susceptible to mistakes.
So it's more of a detriment than anything.
Yeah, in a certain way. It's like if you start feeling so overconfident with the hike or the paths that you stop respecting it to a certain degree, you know what I mean? Like my walking path, it obviously isn't a hike, it's sidewalk, but I walk the same path with my dog, so I can literally mentally check out and I can think about other things and work and the podcast and stuff like that. Where maybe if they were that way with the hiking and the trail, that there were little precautions that they didn't take. Now, I'm not saying that got them 30 miles away, but I don't think that necessarily means that they couldn't have had an accident.
So let's move on to the next story. This is David Gonzalez, 2004 in July. Quote, David asked his mother if he could have the car keys. There was a box of cookies in the car that he wanted. The car was only 50 yards or 46 meters away, and his mother watched him as he walked to the parking lot near Big Bear Lake campsite in Southern California's San Bernardino National Forest. She turned her back for 1 second, and when she looked around again, Gonzalez was gone. His mother reported that she had heard no sound at all when her back was turned, though she did see a beige truck speeding out of the campground around the same time her son went missing. Since there was no signs of abduction, authorities did not pursue that lead. The cookies that Gonzalez went to go for were still in the family's van, so he never made it to the car. Rescue teams in San Bernardino County searched the woods for Gonzalez. They found no sign of struggle for the boy. The search went on for 9 days, but rescuers never found him alive. Almost a year later, hikers stumbled upon the boy's remains about a mile from where the family was camping. Authorities chalked that up to a mountain lion attack, but how could a mountain lion have silently dragged a 9-year-old boy a mile without leaving any blood or sign of struggle? End quote.
Listen, fishing, bad news. Mountain lions get a bad rap. Dogs don't do shit. That's what I've learned from these. And I, you know, obviously that's just out of these examples.
Yeah.
But that, those are the through lines.
There's only like 12 reported mountain lion cases that are kills a year. It's a very small number.
I think that the truck speeding away.
That's very important.
Yeah. Like, this seems like a kidnapping for sure.
Are you ready to hear the last one?
Yes.
This is Stephen Kubrick. This is from...
Not Stanley Kubrick. No.
This is from the Thought Catalog. Quote, in February 1978, Stephen was a student at the time learning German, and he went missing in the Michigan area of the USA, an area known as the Great Lakes Triangle, which is written about in a book by Jay Gurley that talks about the disappearance of hundreds of ships, boats, and aircrafts. Stephen said he was going to go skiing. They found his skis, his poles, on the beach of Lake Michigan, and his footprints on the ice leading up to the lake. They flew over it. The footprints appeared to stop. They found his backpack in the same general area on May 5th, 1979, 15 months later. Steve walked up to his father's door and said he didn't remember much. He woke up in Pittsfield, 40 miles from his father's house, lying in a meadow wearing clothes that weren't his. He had a small satchel beside him with maps that weren't his. Where he woke up was 700 miles from Lake Michigan. Reporters asked him if he could talk to someone. He said he didn't need to, because he didn't have any psychological problems. After 1983, Stephen got a master's in linguistics and a PhD in physical psychology. That's end quote.
Yeah, I've heard of this one before.
You have?
Yeah, I've read that.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't stick with the German, because like, I don't know what you could do with that.
Get a job as a translator. That's what you do.
Yeah, Google.
That's actually something I always considered doing was when I was younger. I was like, I could be a translator. I suck at learning languages.
Yeah, but there's so many bilingual people. There's certain majors that I just like, and I have no room to talk with psychology and creative writing.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of a godsend that I have a job. But sometimes I hear a major, I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, well, like my major too. Jeez.
Yeah.
Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Now, this one is another one that screams maybe something extraterrestrial. Yes. But also at the same time, I know, like, he could have been tripping on something in the 70s.
Well, the footprints just stop.
He was flying high, man.
I guess, yeah. This is where I have what is outside of the human element of this.
Oh, paranormal.
Yes.
Okay.
And some of this was a stretch to fit into it, but some of it was not. Like, there's a couple cases we talked about already that fit very well into the aliens theory.
Yes.
Is there evidence for aliens taking victims? A lot of these cases are about young, relatively good shape people, but they could not have gone the distances that they were either found or ended up in.
I wonder if there was one outlier who was bigger, why they had to put relatively. Like, 95% of them were fit, but there was one that was unfit. So, like, relatively.
Well, I wrote this.
Oh, you wrote this.
Yeah.
So did you look at their weights and you said that relatively one person was...
I mean, they're all basically hiking, so yeah.
Okay.
The child that traveled impossible distances or the man that woke up months later lacking his memory how he got there. How could these things be? Were they picked up? Were they taken to impossible places? Did aliens take them? Do they dispose of the bodies after they're done with their experiments?
Or was it just mountain lions?
You know, like, that's the question. Like,
the most efficient mountain lions.
Yeah, right. Surgical mountain lions.
Yeah. If you bite here, they won't bleed. Fold their clothes with the T, you know, no creases.
Yeah.
Leave the scalp.
Well, there's no screaming ever heard. There's no, I guess they go for the neck, right? But there's no blood. There's no scraps of clothes. It's crazy.
The mountain lions have like little silencer darts that like put them to sleep, tranquilizers.
Yeah, exactly. But also, before getting further, I just want to make sure that everyone knows there's no way we're making fun of any of these victims or anything like that. Of course, these deaths are tragic.
Oh, yeah. In the disappearances.
Like, it's all very sad.
I couldn't imagine somebody, you know, close to me disappearing like that. And I would hate the, like, finding their body and finding out they died is horrific, but yeah. Also kind of like the unknown if they're still out there.
So I just want to point that out. We're not making fun of this. It's sad. We're just talking about what could have happened.
Right.
So I think aliens, man, I think it's a strong possibility. You know, let's actually save that for the discussion.
Yeah.
The next thing I have other supernatural possibilities are forest monsters. Now, some people think that there are actual Sasquatches or Bigfoot, right?
Big feet.
They're taking these people. Now, why? Maybe they're curious. Maybe they're just malicious. Who knows? But they're taking them and they're doing their Bigfoot experiments on them. I don't know if they're just, maybe it's just like a replication of their young, right? It's because a lot of these were kids, right? So they're taking them. They want them to mother, right?
They, like, the amount of swiftness that they would have to move in there, though, like, it really, like, nobody was there besides the people telling the story, so we really don't know the time frames, but the way that they're reported, it's like, you're so looking fast. At them, you're looking at them, you look at them, you turn around for a second, you look back, gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
Like, these big feet must be, like, waiting, and then just, like, sprinting, like, diving, grabbing, rolling, continuing their run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acrobatic big feet.
But what if there's something more malicious than Bigfoot? What if there's something like
a mountain lion?
Well, part of my thesis for this is like skinwalkers or something like that. I don't know. Maybe not that exactly, because that's more spiritual, I think. But maybe something that lurks in the woods that is a monstrous species that we have not discovered.
I mean, if you go into the idea of like a Wendigo,
yeah,
or a skinwalker,
like that. Yeah.
And that way, they're not necessarily being snatched as much as they're being lured.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because those creatures, entities can throw voices.
Mm-hmm.
So they could, you know, especially with a young child, if it sounds like their mom is calling them or their dad's calling them or Isaac is calling them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it can be, or under a trance. Like, I know when we covered skinwalkers, if you made eye contact, some people believe that it can put you under almost like a hypnosis and make you walk away. So yeah. Maybe they're not even being kidnapped as much as led away.
Yeah, that could be.
Now, I don't know if these creatures stalk national forests specifically, but also I don't think every story you covered is the same.
I agree. There's a lot of variations.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some kind of other thing. Maybe it's some kind of other entity.
Yeah, because it's like, I know we were kind of joking about fishing in the through line. I don't think for this perspective of this episode, the through line is missing people in national forests, but there's so much variety. I don't think there's a singular answer. You know what I mean? It's like the detective movies where they have like the big whiteboard or the clear board and they put all the pictures up and all the lines are drawn to one killer. I don't think that's the case here. I think they're all individual cases. We as humans like to kind of want like to make something a narrative out of it.
That's true.
So I think that some of them could be aliens, some of them could be killers, some of them, like, okay, the scalping.
Yeah.
A cryptid didn't do that. I don't think an alien did that. That seems very much serial killer type behavior. Like,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of laid out like cat and mouse. Like, here is what I did to my victim.
Mm-hmm. You know? It was placed.
Yeah, exactly.
A tooth didn't stand that log for 4 years.
No, I mean, one torrential downpour and wind and that tooth is gone. Somebody put it out there 4 years later. That doesn't seem like alien behavior to me. That doesn't seem like a mountain lion or a Bigfoot. That seems like human intent.
All right, so let's move on to my next little monster. I guess monster? My next theory. So the next one is feral people.
Feral people.
This one's interesting.
Like the hills have eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So TikTok user named Ariel at The Present Believer posted a video about her strange experience she had at the Big Bend area. In her video, she claimed that she was camping with her husband and daughter in the Big Bend National Park. Later, on their fifth day, they stayed the night at this lodge in the basin and hung out on the patio.
Last week, my husband and I and our daughter went camping at Big Bend National Park. On our fifth night, we decided to stay at the lodge in the basin to take showers and do some laundry before we went to camp some more.
At one point, they heard multiple people screaming off the distance.
All of a sudden, he was like, shh, what is that? And we started listening. And all this chaos had broke out, and there was like multiple screams, and I couldn't tell anything apart at first.
Then a woman screamed, we're gonna die.
And then this lady was like going on and screaming, and all of a sudden I could hear like, we're gonna die. And then there was more screaming, and I mean like primitive screaming, just like, bah, along with like words.
Ariel claimed the blood-curdling scream went on. Finally, she heard a woman's voice saying, I love you, just know that. She also alleged hearing a child screaming, mommy, and other voices saying, help, and call a ranger.
And at one point she said, I love you. I thought she said John, but I wasn't sure. Just know that. I love you, just know that. Then this kid screamed, mommy. Sorry. And then there was a man screaming, and it just kept going on. At one point they said, help, and call a park ranger. Sorry, I'm shaking. So we called the police. They directed us to the park. My husband offered to drive up to the cottages, which were between us and the trail, and there was nothing. Everyone I asked the next day was clueless.
Ariel said they immediately called the police and a park ranger, but they found nothing. She explained that they asked about the family the next day, but none of the park employees or rangers knew anything what she was talking about.
So this is Texas.
It is Texas. But that's the idea that these primitive feral people, they live out here in the national parks and they're picking people off. And according to this user, it's a little bit of a conspiracy.
Yeah, this one doesn't feel very, like, some of the, most of the other ones felt very stealth-like, where this is, yeah, like, a lot of screaming. Like, maybe it was a new mountain lion that didn't quite get the neck down, like, he got the arm accidentally. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, shit, what do I do? And they're screaming, and they're like, just put him out of their misery, man. But wait, first, you gotta scalp him.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, wait, which tooth is it again? Is it the incisor? Is it the, like, God. Yeah. And that's why he's an intern, mountain lion.
I guess so. He's learning.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think feral people are the explanation for a lot of the other missing person?
No.
Like,
no, I don't. I think it's an interesting theory, but no.
This
I
seems like another example of a one place, terrifying event. Like, I recommend, maybe we'll post it on our Facebook group, the link.
Probably, yeah.
But I would recommend watching, because hearing it from them, you can kind of feel like the creepiness. Like, mm-hmm. You can tell she's still startled talking about it now.
Yeah.
But it just seems like there was some ruckus and some maybe drinking and people got a little crazy,
yeah,
and people got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this one feels like to me, which is still if you put yourself in there, it's dark out. You're in a foreign area in a cabin. You don't know anybody around you. You're outside on a patio and then you hear the screaming, primitive yelling, people saying they're going to kill us. I love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
But that being all the cases, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's interesting for this one scenario, but I don't think we can use that information and put it over everything else we talked about.
This is my second to last little theory. Shout out to my fae, my spirits.
Yeah.
Bite no bite and drink no drop. What if the fae live in our national forests? Maybe the fae found solace in our vast national parks. Do the young find these spirits easier? Maybe they don't know the rules. Celtic folklore is clear. Don't eat the fairy food, or you will be stuck in their world.
Maybe the fairy food is fish.
I don't know what the fairy food is, but I want to find out. Because it's true. If you eat their food or drink their beverages that they offer you, you're stuck.
Dunzo?
Yeah.
That makes me think of the Neopets, because there was the fairy world with the Neopets. Did you ever play Neopets?
Wish I could understand what you're talking
My
about.
My dudes are starving right now. If you were alive in the 90s that isn't Charlie, you probably had Neopets. And they're still alive and they're still starving and I hope you feel like shit. But there was a fairy world in Neopets.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it necessarily explains the remains, but the kids that vanish into the night and don't come back, don't you think that's kind of interesting?
It's for sure. It's definitely interesting. But I'm very upfront in that I'm not a huge believer in the fae.
I know.
So I think it's more credible than the feral people, but both of those I'm kinda checked out on.
Okay, all right. The last one. Portal to another dimension.
Ovo.
So like I said, this dovetails with the stairs in the woods.
Yes.
So like the stairs in the woods, this is similar. Maybe people find these places where the world's veil is thin. Maybe that's why they're disappearing. These finding these places in the national forest that have weird vibes, right? Maybe that's why we don't build there anyway. Maybe that's why we don't want to live there. They have strange vibes. They're cracks in the world. And they find these areas and they disappear. Now, again, it doesn't count for bodies that are found, but it does give a really good explanation for the people that just vanish.
Yeah, and that could even be an example for beyond just national forests, like people
for sure.
that it just disappear in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right now we're very hyper focused on national forests. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting to think about, and you can't really disprove it.
That's true. You can't. That's something that's hard about all this stuff is you can't disprove it. You can't prove something doesn't exist.
True, but like, for instance, this one, I got no leg on to say, like, you could say it sounds unbelievable because of the way that we understand and comprehend the world and its physics. You're like, I don't think that's possible. But that's different than, like, the feral people. Like, I don't think the feral people took that one kid from the farm however many miles away, and he's like, I don't know what happened. I think you would know if people primitively screaming at you picked you up and took you away.
Yeah. But that'd be traumatic. That'd be PTSD.
But you stuff. Could almost explain the parallel dimension on that.
You could.
The guy that ended up in Michigan.
Or it was like a mini
did wormhole. He leave Michigan and went somewhere else? Or
oh, the yeah.
skiing guy.
That yeah, that was Michigan and 700 miles away from Lake Michigan.
He went and he was like, I'm going to major in German. And then he went through a parallel universe and he came out and he's like, I don't know where I am or how I got here. I'm at my father's door, but maybe I should change to
linguistics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's for the best.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking German either, by the way. If you were majoring in German, cool.
Deutsch. Around 600,000 people go missing from national forests yearly.
Wow.
Yeah. I looked that up.
Wow. National forests are just apparently population control. Damn.
Yeah. No list of people missing in the national forest has been made by the Department of the Interior.
Of the Interior?
Yeah.
With, like, interior designers?
It's America.
Oh.
Okay. The Department of America.
See, I think that's one reason why people latch onto this so much as a conspiracy. It's like any time that you have the government, like, giving something the cold shoulder,
mm-hmm.
any time, like, until recently, the way that the government and everything treated aliens was so suspicious. It's like you have millions of people, maybe not millions, thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people every year claiming to see at least weird lights in the sky.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the government's just like, eh. You know what I mean? It was almost their passiveness about it where it's like, okay, something's going on here. Where I think if the government was more like in step with the people.
Yeah, they're like, okay, that's weird.
Like, let's solve this. Or they're putting out information or stuff like that. But yeah. I think the fact that these people aren't
eyes
reported.
Shut, face down.
Yeah, I think that kind of fuels the fire of the conspiracy of the
Absolutely,
national forest. Because
right?
it's like, how can this not be a bigger issue? But then again, like I said, when you have no regulation, I mean, it would kind of suck if they were all of a sudden like, okay, y'all keep going away. Y'all keep disappearing. Now you can only go between dawn and dusk. And now you need a permit. And now you need to mm-hmm. log in here and here. You know, I mean, that would suck. Like, I do like the freedom of it. But at the same time, it's how you can't really report it because there's no, you don't like log in or sign something. You can just, you right now could just drive and go and nobody, you don't have to report it to anybody. Basically, it's just, there's no record of people going in there. There's nobody to hold the record. Therefore, you can't really, I mean, even the thousands, hundreds of that 600,000,
mm-hmm.
it could be, I mean, who knows? Like, who's the one counting? I'm not trying to play devil's advocate. I'm not trying to make it seem like it's not a problem because it definitely seems like a problem. But who came up with 600,000?
I believe it's just people claiming there's missing people.
Yeah. And I feel like number that's
it's
snatched.
It's fluctuating, yeah.
It's like a million seems like I'm exaggerating. 400,000, probably not as important. 600, you know what I mean? It's just, and that's playing devil's advocate. Again, I still think it's a major issue. And I think it's mm-hmm. sparked by the fact the government seems to be like, what? Good luck, those damn mountain lions. But it also is kind of like, if it's not being recorded, how do we have any data besides the people on Reddit or Paul Ides, who's doing his investigative journalism?
But would you like to discuss it?
I feel like we already have, but yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
Hit the sound bump. Hit the sound bump.
So before we get to the discussion, I just want to go ahead and shout out our new Patreon subscriber, Carrie Burley. For this week's episode.
Thank you so much for subscribing. And again, we'll probably touch on it after the discussion. But if anybody wants bonus content, quizzes, videos, director's cut, fun segments, check out our Patreon at Believing the Bizarre.
So we talked about the supernatural stuff that could be behind this.
Yes.
Like I said, I think this movie came out way more true crimey than anything else.
But I can totally see why.
Yes.
Like, I think it's totally justified in doing so.
I expected more supernatural, though. That's why I went into this. I was thinking this is going to be supernatural.
I think a lot of people, when they talk about it, make it seem supernatural. And I think our minds are geared. Like, I feel like there's, especially with like podcasts and stuff, there's like the true crime and then there's the paranormal. And you and I always, not always, typically look through the paranormal lens on the world.
Yeah.
And I think when people are like missing people in the forest, you and I are like, oh my God, aliens and in dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think a lot of other people are like, true crime.
Yeah.
So this is kind of reverse and I apologize, but I'm really curious because you were the train engine leading this, and you had a responsibility to keep the stories going where I was kind of dovetailing. So I'm kind of interested to know your opinion on some of these stories, because I feel like I kind of started it, but you were like, okay, we got to, this can't be a 3-hour podcast. it could be, but you know.
It definitely could have been.
Nobody has a 3-hour commute, and if you do, you better be getting paid damn well for
right,
it.
Exactly.
So I don't mean to mess up your flow on the discussion, because I have no idea what you plan, but what are some of your thoughts on it?
I want to talk, so I think it's very possible some of these, like you mentioned before, I don't think there's one singular answer for all these.
Right.
I don't think there can be. But I think it's very possible some of these strange ones, like the guy who wakes up 700 miles away from where he was last seen, that absolutely could be aliens. That's a great case for aliens. The one where the boy vanishes from Ritter, Oregon, and wakes up.
Is that the farm?
Yeah, yeah. He wakes up 8 miles away, and he's still alive.
And has no idea what happened.
That's a great time lapse. It's also a very good explanation for aliens. Maybe he ran out into the forest, gets picked up, day later comes back, they find him. Aliens.
I wonder if he had any marks on him or anything like that, but I don't think they would think to look for that.
Not in 1950-something.
Yeah.
No.
I wonder what they thought happened. Like, people have a natural tendency to want to answer the question. So I can't imagine, even if they don't know, I feel like the family, the friends, the police would at least say, like, we don't know what happened, but our best guess is such and such. And I wonder what it is.
Moving on, I don't think that this is Bigfoot. I don't. Maybe it's some kind of big predator in the forest that we don't really understand, but I don't think it's Bigfoot, because this is going to sound very human, but I don't see a motive.
Unless, like, eating.
Maybe. Faye? As much as I like the idea of Fae, and the idea that these Fae traveled across the ocean with the Irish immigrants.
Nah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I can't say for sure no.
I think it's a very interesting explanation. You know which one makes me think of the most? The Crater Lake. Because that kid just disappears. He's gone to the forest, and he's gone.
That could be dimension, too.
It could be, yeah, I was going to say that leads into the dimension thing. Maybe he found a portal. Don't know what happened to him. He's just gone.
Yeah, I think each case, I don't think there's an overarching, this is what it is. I think it goes case by case.
But here's my most cynical thought. It's people.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone finding him that has malicious intent, they take him, they kill him, they bury him thousands of miles away. Who knows?
Some of the situations doesn't make sense for it to be a third party. Some of them, it seems like the person that last saw them is the one that did it.
Yes, like the counselor in the Rocky Mountain Park.
Yeah.
Or the grandpa and Isaac for the boy, or even all of them for Dior.
Okay, but specifically, what do you think did the scalping and the tooth? Because that is, it's not like, there's no good kidnapping situation. They're all bad. If you get kidnapped, it's a bad situation. But this scalping, tooth, putting the clothes out is next level sadistic.
I think someone in that church group snatched that kid. That's what I think.
But what would be the purpose? Okay, so 1999, kid disappears.
Yeah.
For some reason, the killer waits 4 years and decides to put out the clothes and the tooth and the scalp where they know it will likely be found. Why?
That's some Mindhunter psychology stuff, man. It's I don't really know.
It almost seems like that was going to be their thing, and then something happened, like they died or they realized this isn't as easy as, you know what I mean? They're like, I'm just going to keep kidnapping kids and doing this. And they're like, wow, this is hard. But like, maybe they never got to do it, or maybe he never got found. But it seems like if this was like a film, or, you know, thinking theatrically, this seems like the very first time the serial killer did it and started establishing their call, scalping, the tooth, the clothes.
That's absolutely what it seems like.
Cause I don't believe that it was out there the whole time.
No, I don't either. There's no way it would have stayed there.
Right. It wouldn't be pristine. The tooth wouldn't have stayed there. This was somebody waiting 4 years to go put out the evidence.
Yeah. Why four? Who knows?
Why that cliff? Why it happened. I like the scalp, like, oh my God, like that is the most disturbing one from every story.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And but that seems like one singular serial killer type of a person.
Yeah, that's the thing. We can't pinpoint any of these. Do I think some of them are supernatural? I do. I think some of them might be aliens for sure. Not all of them, though. Definitely yeah, not.
It just it's a very unregulated area of the world, areas of the world where nobody signs you in, nobody signs you out. You don't have to tell anybody you're going there. So it's just unregulated, which is both awesome because, you know, freedom, you can go out, you don't have to reserve a camping spot. You can just pick a tree, camp underneath it, but also scary in that if something bad happens, somebody might not know where you are or people can easily wander off. And it's a shame and it's scary. And so let me ask you this. How is this going into the believability scale?
So I'm thinking this. So personally, I feel skeptical overall, because I do think some of this could be paranormal, but a lot of it I don't think is. I think a lot of it's easily explained by human components.
But what are we actually asking here?
If there's another element to people missing National Forest, like, is there a paranormal element of it? I think the one case from the missing 411 could be aliens. Just the one. But overall, I think they're human elements that explain them.
But they are missing people.
Yeah.
I don't know how a serial killer or a human being or a mountain lion could bring somebody 700 miles. Now, I'm not saying this is overarching. I'm going to go off the stories you presented to me. Like the scalping, that's a human being. That's a killer. That's somebody very intentful. I think that's they're killing with intent and purpose.
Yeah.
But some of them definitely aren't. So I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go viable, because I do think some of them make no sense on how it could be human.
Right. But some absolutely do.
Yeah. I think some of them, like the one where the kid that got the car, the tan truck or whatever, speeding off.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a kidnapping.
For sure.
The scalping. I think I was kind of joking, but that Isaac guy might have really taken him.
I'm sure.
If he was the last person and he was around the time they found him. You know, but some of them, like, most of it comes down to people being found very far away, not knowing what happened, blackout moments. Yeah. I'm not just going to believe it was drugs
or,
you know, something else. So I'll go viable just because those ones definitely seem to lend to the paranormal side.
So thank you again on joining us on this more than I anticipated true crime episode of Believing the Bizarre.
It's okay. You know what? You gotta mix it up. Sometimes it's a little aliens. Sometimes it's ghosts. Sometimes it's true crime. You know
what? Sometimes it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You know, now we can go around and be like, you know, we're kind of a true crime podcast.
Oh, it was interesting because I was making this. I was like, what lens do I need to do this? I'm like, I don't want to do true crime, even though it lends itself so well to that, but I gotta make this supernatural because that's what I like the most.
The way that people assume that there were like 600,000 missing people, I feel like there's like 6 million true crime podcasts.
Yeah,
I feel like every time you blink, a new one is born.
And there are some amazing ones.
Oh, there's really, really excellent true crime podcasts. No.
So everyone that said you should do this, I did.
Yeah, a lot of people. But it's also cool because you can, it's not stuck to the true crime lens.
Right. There's also that like what if factor.
For sure. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't really, knowing that you can't come to a conclusion, the premise is still a lot of people go missing in these forests and we don't know what's happening. So if you leave it right there, it still kind of like gives you chills where
that's
it's
true.
Like, what's happening? And naturally we want to solve that question, but you can't do it. But you know what you can do? If you like this podcast and if you want more bonus content, we already kind of touched upon it when we were talking about our new patron, Carrie. Head over to Patreon. We got quizzes. We got videos. You can literally Twitch with Charlie.
Yeah, that's something I've been doing the past month.
Yeah, every now and then you play a game, a new
every
game
Friday.
That I don't know about. The new age kids playing these games. But you could, if you are a patron, you can literally play with Charlie as he's streaming. Tons of other content. If you're interested in that at all, we have a couple tiers. Head over to Patreon for that.
Yeah. Speaking of Twitching, I Twitched last time with Ghost Type Alex, our friend, who's
Ghost
a
type.
Streamer. And probably some more of that's going to happen sometime.
But also, if you're enjoying the podcast and you want to let us know about it and you're listening on Apple, head over there and leave us a 5-star review. Tell us what you're thinking. We love seeing them and we love posting them. But above all, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
The podcast, As Bizarre As You Are.